kind of shocked that Sharon didn't bust out with a Christmas song. She's always one of the first ones every year to sing Christmas songs. Amen. But I tell you, that song, that first one, somebody's praying. If that song don't touch you, there's something wrong. Amen. We wouldn't be here today if it hadn't been for somebody praying for us. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. I'm going to read the scripture. Then we're going to kind of jump into the introduction. Then we'll go back and read this scripture again. Ruth chapter 1. When you get there, let's stand. I want to preach a little while on Naomi being a type of Israel. Naomi is a type of Israel. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, if you know anything about the book of Ruth, you know who Naomi is. We also know who Ruth is. Amen. verse 1. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The names of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt in there. They dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Let's go ahead and pray right here. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for all you do. We thank you, God, for your word, that we can read your word, God. God, I pray right now, Lord, you'd help us, Lord, as we try to get into this, God, tonight. Help me to maybe slow down and teach a little bit, God. But, Lord, I pray, God, you would move in this church, God. You touch hearts, God. Help us to realize how close we are, God, to the end. I pray right now, Lord, you just move in a special way, and we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to let's look at a little bit of stuff as kind of an introduction, some prophecies that have been fulfilled, basically some of them in lifetimes of those that's in this church and in the last just a century or so. Prophecy fulfilled about the end time. Historically, Jerusalem has always been under Jewish rule until the invasion of Judah and Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar around 600 B.C. Although some of the Jews returned to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, Jerusalem has always been under some kind of Gentile rule from almost the 20th century. Then in 1917, things started to change when General Allenby liberated Jerusalem from the Turkish rule. Jerusalem then came under the 1922 League of Nations, or British mandate for Palestine, a mandate to establish a Jewish homeland in Palestine. If you go 50 years, we see Jerusalem being fully liberated from the Gentile rule after the 1967 Six-Day War. At this point, all of Jerusalem came under Jewish rule for the first time in 2,500 years. And Jesus' prophecy was fulfilled. Luke chapter 21, verse 24. They shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden under of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Prophecy fulfilled in the gathering of the Jews from all the nations. In just 100 years, the Jewish population of Israel has risen an amazing 7,700%. Now listen, why this mass immigration to Israel? It's a fulfillment of prophecy which say that God will take his people from all nations and bring them back to their own land as he had promised Abraham. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 21. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. Jews are coming from all over the world and from wherever they have been scattered among the nation. The first wave of immigration started in 1882, and particularly involved the Jews coming from Russia and Romania. And by 2008, the number of Jews living in Israel was more than any other country since the year 70 AD. Wow. Why is this return? This is a prophecy fulfilled by Israel in the end time sign to show that the nations, that God is about to intervene in world affairs. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the, and dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Number three, prophecy fulfilled, a nation born in a day. Many prophecies foresaw the end time gathering of the nations of Israel out of the Gentile nations. They were to come from the east and the west and north and south. This happened over the last 100 years. In 1915, there was just 83,000 Jews in Palestine, but this increased to over 6.2 million in 2015. Corresponding an amazing 7,400% increase. In comparison, over the same period, the UK population only increased 55%. Equally amazing to the fact that Israel was born in a day. When the state of Israel was declared on May 14, 1948, this was a fulfillment of prophecy. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 8. He who hath heard such a thing, he who hath seen such things, shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Israel came to be a nation in 1948. God is doing something, folks. We better wake up as a world. We better wake up. God is doing something. Also, the prophecy that Israel is the apple of God's eye. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3 says this. And now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation and will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Isis, Hamas, Egypt, Hezbollah, and everybody better watch out when you start messing with Israel. You're messing with the apple of God's eye. In 1967, the armies of Egypt, Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon, and later Iraq, attacked Israel with the goal of wiping Israel off the map. Israel defeated the attack in just 6 days. And through the Arab armies, although they had superior numbers, superior armor, superior aircraft, superior troops, after the war was held in Sinai, the Golan Heights, Gaza, and the Western Bank, and all of Israel. In fact, the area controlled by Israel after this war was the same that was allotted to them in the 1922 Palestine mandate. Let me stop right there and say something. Everybody's griping about what Israel's doing right now. Let me tell you something. Israel has gave up land and gave up land and gave up land just to try and satisfy these Arabs and these Palestinians. That is not their land. There is no Palestine country. It's the country of Israel. That's God's land. That's what God gave them, and they got every right to take it back. How would you feel if somebody come in and said, we're just going to take Florida? That's going to be ours. We'd load up, drive to Florida, and shoot everybody. And everybody's griping about what Israel's doing. I tell you what, if we'll just back up and let them handle their own business, Gavin, we ain't got to worry about it. They can take care of business, amen. They got God on their side. In 1973, Egypt and Syria launched a cooperative attack on Israel in an attempt to win back the territory that was lost in the Six-Day War. Iraqi forces soon joined the war, and Syria received support from Jordan. The Arab armies used up-to-date Soviet weaponry. The war was launched on Yom Kippur, the holiest day in the Jewish calendar, and when Israel was at rest and in prayer. Also, Israel took the defense forces by surprise, and Israel suffered heavy casualties. Nevertheless, just after 20 days, Egypt and Syria suffered a military defeat. In 2016, Israeli aerospace engineers, IAI, said their new Arrow 3 anti-ballistic missile was capable of intercepting weapons bearing chemical, biological, or nuclear warheads while they were still close to their own launching pads. In other words, if a missile was launched from Iran, it'll fall in Iran. These wartime victories and all these things that are showing how Israel is superior is a fulfillment of prophecy. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 15, behold, they shall gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. I quote this verse all the time, and I believe I can quote this verse for me, but that is talking about Israel. That's what that's talking about. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be a glory in the midst of her. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory he hath sent me into the nations which spoiled you, for he hath touched you as the touch of the apple of his eye. I got an article in my office. There was several years ago. They interviewed somebody from Iran or Iraq, and they asked why in the world couldn't they defeat Israel. It said that one of the guys said, every time they sent up a rocket, it seemed like God took it out of the sky. Amen. Guess what? He did. Amen. They've got that, what they call it, the Iron Dome. Let me tell you something, folks. You best support Israel. We better hang with them, and we better have their back. Amen. Amen. See what happened to every other country that turned their back on Israel? Back before the turn of the century, back in the late 1800s, the greatest nation on earth, Great Britain, turned their back on Israel, and look at them now. One more prophecy, and then I'll get to the message. Today, Israel's industry include diamonds, processing, textiles, food processing, mining, agriculture, and forestry. Despite the fact that more than half of Israel's land is desert, Israel still manages to produce 95% of its own food requirements. Israel also is a major exporter of dates, avocados, olive oil, pomegranates, almonds, and is a world leader in agricultural technology such as drip irrigation. Israel's scientific and technological advances are astounding. Her industry now boasts many thousands of high-tech companies in a wide range of fields such as computer science, electronics, genetics, optics, biotechnology, medical electronics, solar energy, and electric cars. The majority of these companies are from startups, all major high-tech companies such as Apple, Google, Microsoft, Intel, Samsung now have an R&D centers in Israel. In particular, cybersecurity is big business there. The country has been described as an economic miracle. Now listen, since it has consistently had more companies listed on the NASDAQ than all of Europe combined, and consistently scores as one of the top countries for patents per capita in the world. According to Israel, Central Bureau of Statistics, Israel exports of goods, excluding services, has risen consistently over the several decades from $6 billion in 1980 to $31 billion in 2000, and now it's over $63 billion worth now. Well, you say, preacher, that's a fulfillment of prophecy. Isaiah chapter 27, verse 6. He shall cause them that come to Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. It's a known fact. If we'll live like this right here says live, we'll be blessed. Amen. Deuteronomy. Now listen, Deuteronomy chapter 28. Listen to what that says. If you go back and read Deuteronomy chapter 28, it would do us good to go back and read this. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, I think it's like the first maybe 20-some verses, it talks about the blessings. And then the last like 60-some verses talks about the cursings when you turn your back on Israel and you turn your back on God. But the first three verses says this: and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God has set thee high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. You don't mess with Israel. Amen. Now, let's look at Naomi as a type of Israel. Ruth chapter 1. Let's go back and read that one more time. Now it came to pass, as in the days when the judges ruled, that there was famine in the land. And certain of the men of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn into the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, her and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpha, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelt about 10 years. And Malion and Chilion died, both of them, and the woman was left with her two sons and her husband. Number one, as a type of Israel, they left Bethlehem. Bethlehem basically means the house of bread. In other words, there was a famine hit. Now, you think about what I'm getting ready to tell you. There was a famine hit, and they left the house of bread to go find bread somewhere else. Ain't that just how we are? I mean, we look at Israel, but think about how this affects us. I know we got people that have come into church house, they've come to church, and God blessed them, and hard times hit, and instead of staying in church and doing what they're supposed to do, they're out there looking for something else. That just goes to show you how hard-headed we are. Amen. But the Bible talks about how that Israel turned their back on God. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 18 says this: "And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins." Leviticus chapter 26, verse 33: "And I will scatter you among the heathen, and I will draw out the sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste." If you go back and study the Bible, we study how they turned their back on God multiple times. Multiple times. If you just look at the book of Judges, the Bible says there was no king in the land, and everybody did that was right in his own eyes. God ain't happy with that. But they left the house of bread. Also, number two, God punished them. Elimelech died. The two boys died. See, that's what happens when you leave where God's got you, and you leave and you start doing things you ain't got no business doing. I'm just telling you, God starts intervening, because the Bible says those that he loves, he chastises. So understand something. When we get away from God, just like Israel got away from God, and I thought about it as I was studying this, Brother Robert, and looking over this, how many, down through the years, I mean, Satan has done his best. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we'll look at it as Satan doing it. But what happens when you turn your back on God, when you walk away from God? Well, you know what you do? You take the hedge of protection down. We know from studying the book of Job, that we know that the Bible says that Job had a hedge of protection around him. Satan said, "You've got a hedge of protection around him." Now listen, the Bible says that God allowed Job, God took down the hedge for Job to be tested. Some of us, and Israel just alike, did not take the hedge down. God didn't take the hedge down. We chose to walk on the outside and shake hands with the devil. And that's what happens in our life. The Bible says in chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, "And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." See what happens when you start playing with God. That's what happened to Israel. Now let's look at the number of years they were gone. In verse 4, "And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpha, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. I never thought about it until I was studying this today. The number of the numbers of that, number 9 is the number of testimony. But number 10 is the number of judgment. They were gone 10 years. We know about the 10 plagues. We know that 10 is the number of judgment. Folks, I'm just telling you, God has judged Israel over the years. I thought about it also as I was studying. How many times over the years has multiple thousands and thousands and millions of Jews been killed? Let me go ahead and tell you, I'm just going to interject something right here. That's what happens when you reject Jesus. The Jews rejected the Messiah. We went to Israel in 1999, and our guide, I'm telling you, our guide was a genius. The man could speak 7 languages, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, he knew everything. He knew the New Testament, Brother Tommy, better than I did, but he was a Jew, and he did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. He basically said this. He said, "For you Christians, your Messiah has come." He said, "But for the Jews, our Messiah has not come." And what they're waiting on the Messiah to come so they can rule and reign. They're waiting on the Messiah to come and set up and rule in the 1,000-year millennial reign. That's what's going to happen. But they already missed the boat. If they don't get saved, they're going to have to go through all everything that's getting ready to come. So there's a number of judgment. Now, don't you think about this, her coming out of Moab. Yes, she went in, but she's coming out. Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 8. And many days after, thou shalt be visited. In the latter years, thou shalt come into a land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely in them. Ruth chapter 1, verse 21. I went out fully. The Lord hath brought me home again. Hey, I'll tell you, I've already read to you about how that the Jews are rushing back over there. They're moving back in. They're repopulating the Holy Land, and they've coming out from all over the world. There have been people that left America. There have been people that left Soviet Union. There have been people that left China. They're going back. Now think about this. The Bible talks about how that many tongues and many nations will be saved in the tribulation. And I still believe, Clint, this is the Jews. You got American Jews. You got Canadian Jews. You got Jews in every country just about. I believe that's what that could be talking about. God has brought them back to their homeland. Now, this is the part, this next point is the one that got me. She brought home a Gentile bride. Somebody going to think about that tonight and have to get out of bed and run around the bed. She brought home a Gentile bride. Where do you think the bride of Christ has come from? We serve the same God that the Jewish nation serves. Amen. The Bible talks about it in chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. And we saw that she had steadfastly minded to go with her. She left speaking unto her. So the two went and came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass that they were coming to Bethlehem. All the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Understand something. What happened was she told Orpha and she told Ruth. She said, y'all go back. You go back to Moab. You go back to serving your gods. Orpha said, I'm gone. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. But Ruth said, where you go, I go. And your God's going to be my God. And I'm going to stay with you. And you understand something. We are the bride of Christ. The nation of Israel has birthed the bride of Christ. We are Jesus' bride. The nation of Israel has brought forth this Gentile bride. And that's for Jesus. One old preacher put it this way. We are the bride of Christ. And the Jewish nation is the bride of God. But thank God I serve Jesus. Thank God Jesus is our husband. Thank God, just like I preached the other night, he's going to come and rescue us all out of this. Thank God for that Gentile bride that the Jewish nation has brought forth. Amen. Also, she had a kinsman redeemer. Chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Thank God that Israel had a kinsman redeemer, and his name was Jesus. Now, if you study this out, we know that Ruth wound up marrying Boaz, and God blessed and God moved, and that she was the great-great-grandmother of King David, amen. She is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Hey, thank God for that Gentile. Now, her latter end. Listen to this. Israel's latter end. I believe Israel's getting ready to go through some hard times. I believe that with all my heart. Because when the church is raptured out, the nation of Israel is going to be persecuted like never before. When the church is raptured out, what the Antichrist is going to do to the nation of Israel is going to make Hitler look like kindergarten. They're getting ready to go through it. But thank God we'll be gone. Amen. But her latter end, the Bible says in Ruth chapter 4, verse 14, and the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. Israel's going to be all right, amen. That's the apple of God's eye. Somebody said, why in the world did God choose them? Just because. Just because. Why did God choose you? What made you so special that you got saved? Nothing. That's God's people because that's what God said. Amen. That's God's people because that's what God chose. So you and I ought not question that. You and I, let me tell you something, folks. There's this theology going around that the church has replaced the nation of Israel as the apple of God's eye. That is a lie. That's a lie from hell, amen. I'm just telling you, the church, you understand, the church is going to be raptured out of here. God's still going to have his hand of protection on his people. They're going to be saved through the tribulation. And you understand this, folks, you better not mess with Israel. I'm going to say this. I told you that the church, Jesus said, upon this prophecy or upon this revelation, I'm going to build my church that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Okay? Jesus is watching out for his bride. Amen? Now, I'm just going to say something. You know, what kind of foolish person would allow somebody, Kevin, to hurt their wife? Nobody. Nobody. Let me tell you something. When me and my wife got engaged, before we ever got married, if you'd have laid a hand on her, I'd have... I'm just going to be honest with you. I ain't always been saved. And even if... I'll tell you right now, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. My name's written in heaven right now. You lay a hand on my wife, and I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to hurt you. I'm not going to pray for you until after I hurt you. I'm just being honest. And any man in here that say any different, Bible says you're worse than an infidel. That's my bride. Let me tell you something. Me and her fuss sometime, and if I can fuss with her, you better not. I'm going to protect her with everything I got. Jesus is going to protect the church with everything he's got. And God's going to protect Israel with everything he's got. Amen. Listen, folks, get ready because it's coming. I believe the rapture is going to take place anytime. I'm just telling you right now, I believe it's close. But everything, I said the other day, if you're looking at time, you know, we're looking at a game. We're in the two-minute warning. I believe we're down to the last few seconds. Amen. And Satan's doing everything he can to try to come back. But guess what? We win. We win. I love you.